We're on Daf Lamed Tesam and Aleph, and we're up to the Lo Yafki Ena Besudrin. So let's count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down from the top at the two dots, and we're quoting the Mishnah. And the Mishnah presents a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, and the issue here is what we call Toldas Hachama. So you have something that was heated up by the sun. In this case, the Mishnah gives an example of sudarin, which is some sort of a cloth or a scarf or a turban, and it was heated up by the sun. And the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to heat an egg on this hot piece of cloth, even though, as we're going to learn today, you're allowed to heat up an egg in the sun itself. But paradoxically, if something was heated up by the sun, which is called Toldas Hachama, that's prohibited, and Rabbi Yossi allows it. So the Gemara asks the following. V'hadisnan, we have a Mishnah later on, at the end of Masechta Shabbos, Nosnin Tavshil L'tocha Bar Bishvil Shiyehe Shamur. You're allowed to take a pot of cooked food, and in order to preserve it, you can place it inside a pit, and V'esamayim Ayofim B'royim Bishvil Shiyitztanenu, which means that you're allowed to take water, and let's say, for example, you want to take a cooked dish, and you want to keep it in some dry place or cool place, because the heat of the sun could damage the dish. So you're allowed to place this tavshil into a pit, or in the case of, let's say, drinking water, you're allowed to protect it by putting from the heat by putting it into stale water, which is called ra'im v'yasatzonein. And if you have something that's cold and you want to warm it up a little bit, b'chama, you're allowed to warm it up in the sun, b'shvil she'ichamu, that it should warm up, it should heat up. Is lema Rabbi Yossi hi v'lo rabbanan? Shall we assume that Mishnah that we just learned reflects the shita of Rabbi Yossi? Because the Gemara now assumes that the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara is about to withdraw this position, is about anything that was heated up by the sun. And we're talking about solar energy, solar heat. The Tanakhama holds that solar heat is considered bishul, and Rabbi Yossi denies it. And then nafka mina is going to be, in this case, of taking tzonein, taking cold water, and heating it up in the sun. The Chachamim, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, would prohibit it, because solar heat is bishul. Rabbi Yossi would permit it. So if this Mishnah that we're studying now, from the end of Masechta Shabbos, says that you're allowed to take cold water and heat it up in the sun, it's got to reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rav Nachman, Bechama Kuliyama Lo Pligi. Deshari, everybody agrees, the Tanakhama never denied it, that solar energy, solar heat, is not bishul. Anything that's cooked or heated by the sun, that's perfectly mutar on Shabbos. Now we go to another case. Ur. The Gemara is now going to talk about toldos ha'ur, but let's talk about ur. Ur is your classic bishul. You put a pot on a fire, and the fire cooks your food. Or let's take, for example, roasting. Imagine that you're holding a piece of meat on a spit over the fire. That would be classic bishul, called sliya, a violation of a malacha d'oraisa. and that status of tzliya would have repercussions in many different halachas, even beyond Hilchas Shabbos. But now let's talk about toldos ha'or. What it means is the fire heats up X, let's call it a metal, because that's the classic case, and that metal now heats up your food. Everybody agrees that toldos ha'or kuliyam lo pligi di osir. And when it says osir, it means it's an act of bishul, de'oraisa, for which you be chayav achatos. In fact, one could argue that bishul itself is toldos ha'or, because let's say you put food into a pot, or you put water into a pot, you turn on the fire heats up the pot, and the metal itself heats up the water. That's toldos ha'or. Clearly that's bishul, you be chayav chatos. Where is the machlokes? We said that in chama, everybody agrees that's mutter. In or, and toldos ha'or, everybody agrees that's a chayav chatos. The machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi is betoldos ha'chama. That the heat of the sun was responsible for heating up a metal substance. So again, if the egg is placed in the sun, wunderbar, that's fine. You can cook your egg in the sun. But if the sun heats up X, I mentioned the metal, but in the Gemara's case, in the Mishnah's case, it's a cloth. And again, it's hard sometimes for us to imagine that the cloth could become so hot by virtue of solar heat, but that's the reality of it, that now you can actually crack an egg over that piece of cloth, and it could begin to fry. Here's the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, and it's all about Gzeira. In just one second, Michael, I just want to finish this one paragraph. Mar Sovar, according to the Tanakama, Gazrinan told us Achama, Otu told us Aor. If you would allow something that was heated up by the sun, then people would think that because it's not the original, it's only a product, then toldos ha'or would also be permissible. Because the average person might make that equation in his mind between two cases of toldos. You have toldos ha'chama and toldos ha'or. The Tanakama argues that if you'll permit toldos ha'chama, like this case of the cloth that was heated up by the sun, then people will come to make the jump and the equation with toldos ha'or, and anything that's heated up by the fire is also a secondary situation and it's mutter. Therefore, in order to equate both toldos, we're going to have to say that midrabbanan is a gzera that prohibits toldos ha'chama, or to toldos ha'or. Umar sovar, but Rabbi Yossi holds lo gazrinon. Rabbi Yossi holds that it's so well known to the people that chama is not bishul, that they would therefore logically derive the conclusion that toldos ha'chama is not bishul. They would never equate that with or, with the case of esh. And therefore Rabbi Yossi never accepted the gzera. The nafka mina is going to be, are you allowed to crack your egg over a sudar that was heated by the sun? Go ahead, Michael.
No, so that really was my question. So everybody agrees that you can heat it by the sun. So nowadays, do we agree with Rabbi Yossi or the Tanakama?
Oh, you mean how do we paskin?
Yeah.
I think we paskin like the Tanakama, but you know what? I'll be more intelligent to answer that question probably within the next half hour or so. Okay then?
Yes.
Now, the Mishnah continues and says, Lo yatmi nenu b'chol. What happens is the sun heats up the sand, and now he wants to submerge his egg in the hot sand and roast it in the hot sand, and the Mishnah prohibits it. Yet, the Mishnah is what we call a stam Mishnah, which doesn't mention any plugta, implying that even Rabbi Yossi would accept the premise that you're not allowed to cook your egg by submerging it in hot sand. So the Gemara immediately asks, "V'liflog nami Rabbi Yossi b'ha?" Why didn't Rabbi Yossi argue against the Tanakama? In the case of Tolda Sachama, isn't the sand Tolda Sachama no less than the Sudar that was heated up by the sun? Why is it that Rabbi Yossi would make the following distinction? In case A, where the Sudar was heated up by the sun, Rabbi Yossi says you can heat up something on the Sudar. In case B, where the sand was heated up by the sun, you're not allowed to heat up your egg with the heat of the sand. Why not? In both cases, it's told us Achama. And here we're going to have a machlokes, how to interpret this prohibition of sand, hot sand, according to Rabbi Yossi. Two shitos, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Rabba Omar, Rabba says that this situation of submerging the egg in hot sand is too similar to what we called Hatmana Beremetz, Gzeira Shemiyatmin Beremetz. Very often, the Chachamim are worried about taking somebody on Shabbos taking food and submerging it under hot coals. Remetz literally is hot, Afer, hot ashes, but it usually means coals. Now these hot coals were heated up by the fire, and that would be Bishul Doraisa. Maybe it's hard for us to imagine, but in the Gemara's vision, there's a great similarity between submerging uncooked food in hot sand and submerging uncooked food in hot coals or hot ash. It's not necessarily intuitive, but the Gemara sees that as something, according to Rabbah, that's too similar to play games here. We're not going to allow submerging, and this is even according to Rabbi Yossi, a raw egg in hot sand, because that's very similar to submerging an egg in hot coals. And because of that similarity, Rabbi says Rabbi Yossi accepts this gzeirah. Now we get to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Mipnei Shemezes Afar Mimkomo. There's a fundamental difference between a sudar and chol, and sand. Because unlike sudar, in the case of sand, when you put the egg into the sand, you inevitably move the sand in one direction or another. And here, my friends, we have a major machlokas rishonim. What is the issue that Rav Yosef has in mind about moving sand? One shita is mukta. Now, when you submerge the egg, or whatever it might be, into the sand, and the sand moves this way and that way, that's called, and I think we've mentioned in the past, and we'll mention it over and over again in the next perek, which is called Tiltul Minatzad. Tiltul Minatzad means indirect movement. You move X, and Y moves. X is non-mukta, Y is mukta. And there's a tremendous controversy about the status of Tiltul Minatzad. In fact, La'alacha we pass in Tiltul Minatzad is mutter, but there are many shitas in the Gemara, and Rav Yosef, according to this opinion in the Rishonim, is one of them, that Tiltul Minatzad is also a violation of mukta, even though you never actually came in direct contact with the mukta item, but you caused the mukta item to move. We'll call it billiard boards. And Rav Yosef, according to this shita, is maintaining that there's a mukta problem, which doesn't have any parallel in the case of sudar, because in sudar you're not moving anything that's mukta. The other shita, which seems to be Rashi shita, is that when you move afar, when you move chol, in this case sand, you open up a hole. And whenever you open up a hole in the ground, that's called meleches choresh. Now again, this is all rabbinic. What do I mean it's rabbinic? If I open up a hole in the ground where I could seed the ground, that's called charisha. Charisha, which means plowing, is the introduction to zriya, the next malacha on the list of the 39 malachas, which is planting. You don't plant in sand, but it doesn't matter. Any hole in the ground is considered choresh, whether it's a told of charisha, more likely it's an isa derabbana. So let's just summarize. We have the understanding of Rabba and then of Rabbi Yosef. According to Rabba, the issue is a hatmana issue, which means that whenever you submerge something and you surround it with an insulation that's going to heat it up, like in the case where he puts the egg in the sand, that was prohibited by the rabbis because it's too similar to what we call hatmada beremetz, where you would actually submerge raw food in coals or surround it with hot ashes. According to Rav Yosef, on the other hand, the issue is either tiltal mukta, because he moves the sand inevitably when he submerges the egg, or it's the Easter is creating a hole in the ground, which is, let's call it, for argument's sake, a toldo of choresh. Meisve, the Gemara is now going to prove that only Rabba, I'm sorry, we skip. My Beinayu, what's the nafkamina between Rabba and Rav Yosef? He could Beinayu afar tichoach. On Erev Shabbos, he started loosening the ground. Now, according to Rabba, even if he loosens the ground on Erev Shabbos, when he puts the egg in, he is surrounding the egg with sand. And once again, we still have this stretch, this similarity to Yatmin Beremetz. Because at the end of the day, he's insulating his egg. According to Rav Yosef, on the other hand, since he loosened the ground before Shabbos, we don't assume that he's going to be moving the sand, the ground. Why? Because he's already created a hole, so to speak. What's going to happen is when he puts the sand in, I'm sorry, he puts the egg in the sand, there's already a hole being created. And again, this is very futuristic for us, but it could be that Ofer Tichoach, once he prepared the sand, that's not included under Tiltul Muktza. So even if you'll tell me that as a result of putting the egg in, some of the sand is going to collapse and cover the egg, and we're holding now that Tiltul Benatzad is Tiltul, it's a violation of the Yisur Tiltul, but here, since he prepared the sand beforehand, that's not even called Tiltul Benatzad. Maysmith. Yeah.
Is there any issue because they're comparing the sand to ashes or coals? Is it like stoking the coals when it moves the sand?
You see, the case of stoking the coals is a case where you have food that's being heated in an oven or stove. Here I think we're talking about something different. We're not really talking about stoking coals as much as we're talking about what's called Shemiyatmin Beremetz. Shemiyatmin Beremetz means we have a situation which could be similar to another situation, and one might confuse it. If you actually had remetz in that situation, then we start talking about that maybe he would start poking around these coals or these ashes that are hot, and there's a flame there, and he's going to cause the flame to go up. But we're one step removed from that. We're not talking about, in the case of sand, Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. There are no Gecholim over here. But we're afraid, says Rabbah, that once you're submerging the food in the sand, that's similar, and you may make that confusion and jump the gun, to taking cooked food and submerging it in hot ashes.
Thank you.
Okay, Meisve. Now, we're about to learn a brisa that quotes Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel actually reflects the sheet of Rav Yossi. And let's just reiterate that according to Rav Yossi, toldos hachama is mutter, and therefore Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer megalgalin beitz al gabe gag roseach. So you have a hot roof that's been heated up by the sun, and roseach means it's very, very hot, so hot that if he rolls his egg on top of this roof, it could actually roast the egg. And you're allowed to do that. Why? Because the roof was heated up by the sun, and we're holding now, like Rabbi Yossi, that told us hachama is mutter. However, ein megalgal in beitz al gabi sid roseach. Now sid, which is called plaster, is heated up by fire. So that's already told us ha'esh, or ha'or. And that, according to everyone, would generate a chiv chatas. That's a violation of Meleches Bishul Doraisa. Now, here's the question. When you roll the egg on top of the hot roof, should we be afraid that you might be moving afar? Every roof has a certain amount of dirt on it, and therefore when you start rolling your egg on the top of the roof, on the floor of the roof, you're going to inevitably move some afar. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Lamandi Amar, according to Rabbah, Gezeira Shem Yakmin Beremetz Lekalim Egzar. In this case, there's no similarity whatsoever between rolling an egg on the top of a roof and submerging an egg inside sand. In the case of sand, when you mamish insert the egg into the sand, that's very similar to placing food in a way that you surround it with coals. But in the case of the top of a roof, that's not at all similar, and therefore there's no gzera. We understand very well why Rav Shimon Gamliel allows you to roll your egg on the top of the roof. If we go with Rabbi Yosef, the Omer Nation Mazes offer him Komo, Ligzar. The Gemara thinks that even in this case, when he rolls the egg on the top of the roof, there's a certain minimum volume of earth, of dirt, that's on top of the roof, and he's going to move that from place to place. And the Rishonim want to prove from this Kash of the Gemara that we're dealing with Tiltul Mukta. Because again, if you're talking about making a hole, it's a little bit far-fetched to assume that the Gemara Nahavamina thought that by rolling an egg on the top of the roof with that minimum amount of earth there, you're creating a hole in the earth. I mean, that's really far out. And the Gemara answers, Stam Gag Lespe Ofar, that the volume of earth on top of the roof is so minimal that we don't have to be worried even about what's called mazes afar mimkomo. He's really not moving any earth. Again, if you talk about making a hole in the earth, for sure, that's upgrade, that goes without saying. But even if you talk about moving the earth, the Gemara assumes that you're not really moving the earth. And therefore, Lomi boy, it goes without saying, according to Rabbah, there's no gzeri of shemiyat bin beremetz when you roll your egg on top of the roof, but even according to Rav Yosef, of mazes off from Mkomo, there's no mazes off from Mkomo on the top of the roof. Toshma, once again, a raya for Rabbah against Rav Yosef. from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah we're familiar with, right here at the beginning of our perek. Ma'isah shasu anshei Tveria ve'viu silon shel tzonein l'toch ama shel chamin. So they run this pipe underneath the hot springs of Tveria in order to heat up the cold water that's coming into these pipes. And this lechora would be a case of toldas ha'ur. I'm sorry, start again. This would be a case of toldas ha'chama. The hot sun heats up the springs of Tveria. And once those springs are heated up, that's called toldas ha'chama. Bishlema lemadi omer gzeira shem yatmin beremetz hainu didamya latmana. Why did the Chachamim object to the Anshei Tveria? And apparently Rabbi Yossi would also agree that what the Anshei Tveria did on their own initiative is a no-no. We don't find that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Sefer of our Mishnah. He would also be machmir here. And once again, let's talk about submerging. That's Rabbah's understanding of Rabbi Yossi. That if you took an egg and you submerge it in the sun, in the sand, and the sand surrounds the egg, that's similar to Shemiyatmin Beremetz. Here also, he's submerging the cold water into the hot springs of Tveria that are now completely surrounding the cold water. That's again hatmana. My footnote here is you have to be very imaginative here. That if we allow you to submerge a pipe and run cold water through that pipe in the hot water of the Chamei Tveria, you will come to put your food inside and surrounded by remnants, by hot ashes. You got to be a little bit creative here. Think out of the box. Elamandi Omar, Mipnesha, Mazes, Ofram, Koma, Michael, and Maymar. One thing you have to grant me. This goes without saying. There's no Mazes, Ofram, Koma under the water. There's no Ofar. There's not even a speckle of dirt. What's he moving over here? Why would Rabbi Yossi agree with the Chachamim that we have to object to what the Anshei Tveria did on their own initiative, running this pipe underwater when there's no Shema Yaziz Ofar Mimkoma over here? Where's the Yaziz Ofar Mimkoma? There's no Ofar on the ground.
Doesn't the pipe make it twice removed, not once removed?
You're asking on Rabbah, you mean. According to Rabbah, who says Shema Yatmin Beremetz, maybe it's in a pipe. That's not really submerging the water. There's no direct contact, you're saying, Jerry, right, between the water that's in the pipe and the water, the hot springs outside the pipe. I don't know. The Gemara is not making that distinction. Again, we have to come to some conclusion as to why Rabbi Yossi agrees that the Chachamim objected to the Anshei Tveria, and the Gemara thinks that if you surround the cold water with hot water by submerging it into the hot springs, that's Shema Yatmin Beremetz. And that we can understand why Rabbi Yossi objected to that according to Rabbah. But if you go with Rabbi Yosef, and we're talking about Shema Yaziz Ofar Mimkomo, there's no Shema Yaziz Ofar in the case of Anshei Tveria. So Rabbi Yosef will give the following answer. Mi Savris Maisa Tveria Seifa Koi Aresha Koi. In other words, the whole story about Anshei Tveria and the objection of the Chachamim to what the Anshei Tveria did on their own is not connected with the case of the Seifa, which means the case where even Rabbi Yossi agrees that you submerge the egg into the hot sand. We're going back to the case of Sudrin. Now, if you remember, the case of Sudrin was a case of toldas ha'chama. The Gemara now is presenting a radical revolutionary thesis. And again, you're going to have to check this up with Google, because I don't know the physics of Chamei Tveria. But now the Gemara is revolutionizing Chamei Tveria and is equating Chamei Tveria with what's called Toldos HaChama. I'm sorry. Scratch that. The Gemara is revolutionizing and equating Chamei Tveria with Toldos HaEsh, which means that the hot springs of Tveria are heated up by fire. Now, I've been to Chamei Tveria. I didn't see any flame whatsoever. So the Gemara says the following. Let's go back to the Reisha. We're talking about Toldos HaChama. Lo yafkiena besudjim Rav Yossi matir. Hachi kamar le rabbanu le Rav Yossi. Hamaisa the anshei Tveria de Toldos HaChama hu. The Asri lul rabbanon. Isn't it true that the springs, the hot springs of Tveria are heated up by the sun? And therefore, the water itself is Toldos HaChama. And yet, the Chachamim objected to the Anshei Tveria, and they said it's prohibited. So you see that Toldos HaChama is Asur Omalahu, and Rabbi Yosef says, Ahu, the reason why the Rabbanon objected is because Chamei Tveria is not Toldos HaChama, but Toldos Orhu. The fire heats up the water of Chamei Tveria. Chamei Tveria is like hot tea. I'll drink to that. And he says, the Chalfei HaPischa de Gehenna. Now, I don't know that Gehenna is heating up the hot springs of Tveria. I mean, that makes me very uncomfortable when I go to Chamei Tveria. But I would say that it means the center, the core of the earth. Michael?
Exactly. That's why I was just
going to
say that.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was going to say.
So, do you know, Michael, the physics? Is it really true that the fire in the center of the earth, deep down below the surface of the earth, is actually heating up the hot springs of Tveria?
Yes, I'm sure it is. And maybe the whole concept is that they're both natural phenomena, that the sun is just something that is in nature, and that occurs is natural, and the underground heat from the center of the earth is also something that is just part of nature. It's nothing to do with, not man-made in any way. Maybe that's what the connection is.
Yeah, but again, you could make that connection if you like, but that's not sufficient. In order to say that there's Bishul here, you have to talk about fire. I don't know, is there really, I didn't Google this, but is there a fire in the center of the earth that actually heats up Chamei Tveria?
Yeah, I mean, what's a volcano? A volcano is fire that comes out from the center of the earth. So there's fire underneath the ground, and it heats the hot springs.
Okay. I don't know. Probably there's the two things going on here in the hot springs. Probably there's some element of solar energy, and there's some element of the fire that comes from the core of the earth. And the machlokas shin chachamim and Rav Yossi means what at the end of the day is the primary element and cause for the heat of Chamei Tveria. Okay. Now, Rav Yossi, we're going to start Rav Chisda, but I would like, again, I'm always looking at the clock, as you know, and I'm trying to figure out what we have time for, but I would like to share with you, before we start Rav Chisda and move on to Lamed Tes Amid Beis, I would like to share with you a Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua is bothered by the following question. In the next perek, which is called Bamet Tomdin, the Mishnah establishes that you're not allowed to insulate food even before Shabbos on what's called a Dover HaMosif Hevel. Right? If you recall, we've discussed that you can insulate food in a way that the insulation preserves the heat. And then there's an even more extreme kind of case where you insulate something where you increase the heat. So here's the difference between Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to insulate your pot on something that will increase the heat. That's called a Davar HaMosif Hevel. And we don't know that anyone, any Tana, questions that premise. The Mishnah establishes, and the entire Perek is built on that premise. Now, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to preserve, you're not allowed to insulate a pot, even on something that is Shomer Alachom. It preserves the heat. It's not Mosif Hevel. Now, let's talk for a moment about submerging an egg into sand that was heated up by the sun. And the Gemara says we have to try to find an explanation. Why would Rabbi Yossi agree? There's no machlokas recorded in the Mishnah that it's asur to submerge the sand. I'm sorry, the egg into hot sand. And the Gemara goes back and forth. Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef says to Pnei Yoshua, I don't get it. This is a classical case. A classic case of Hatmana. Nobody argues that Hatmana is prohibited. Not only that, it's logical to assume, so claims the Pnei Yoshua, that sand would be a Davar HaMosif Hevel. Again, for that we'd have to learn the next parak and see the whole list, the enumerated list of different kinds of materials. But be that as it may, one thing you have to grant the Pnei Yoshua, at the very minimum, sand will preserve the heat. This is hot sand. We're saying that you could even cook an egg and fry an egg in sand that was heated up by the sun. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yossi holds that Toldos HaChama is mutter. Why shouldn't he argue against the Chachamim in the case of Lo Yatmin and Vechol? Just like he says, Lo Yafkeinu B'Sudar. What's the Gemara batting about here, says the Pnei Yoshua? We're talking about a clear-cut violation of the Isra Atmana. Your egg is completely surrounded by something that's insulating and maybe even increasing the heat. I can't even allow you to do that on Erev Shabbos, let alone on Shabbos. And based on this kasha, the Pnei Yoshua claims, and it's a pretty radical chiddush. I would almost say it's counterintuitive that the Isra Atmana only applies to cooked foods, but not to raw foods. The egg is raw, and there's no Isra Atmana. So when I submerge the egg into the sand that was heated by the sun, which is told as Hacham, according to Rabbi Yossi, that should be mutter. It doesn't come under Atmana because it's a raw egg. Listen to the paradox of the Pnei Yoshua. If I understand them correctly, if I had a cooked egg and I wanted to eat it hot on Shabbos, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that I'm not allowed to submerge it into the sand because that's a Davar HaMosif Hevel and that's prohibited on Shabbos. When Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Chachamim in the Havamina of the Gemara, right, the Gemara at the end has Rabbi and Rav Yosef to explain why he agrees to the Chacham, but the Havamina, he would allow you to put an egg into sand because it's sand is only told to Sachama. That's because it's a raw egg. Had it been a cooked egg, it would certainly be awesome. That's what it comes out according to the Pnei Yoshua. Now, I'm just mentioning this because, again, if we were learning Be'iyun, this would be a major, major topic. All right. Omar Rav Chizda. And now we're turning to Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Mi Maisa Shasu Anshei Tveria Vi Asru Lehu Rabbanan. Now we get to Chamei Tveria. So we're not talking about submerging your egg in hot sand. We're talking now about running a pipe under the hot springs of Tveria, drawing cold water, which is going to become very hot. Is Botlat Mana Bidovar HaMosif Hevel, Afilu Mibodyom. And I'm going to present to you Tosus' Kasha here on this Gemara, but the Gemara says this obviously prohibits Hatmana even on Erev Shabbos. Again, the Anshei Tveria set up this mechanism on Friday. That's when they drew the pipe On Shabbos they did nothing. They were totally passive. And yet, the sages prohibited it. And the answer is that it's Hatmana on Erev Shabbos. And Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is prohibited in Dovra Mosif Hevel. Obviously, Chamei Tveri is a classic case of Dovra Mosif Hevel. Because the hot water of the springs are going to heat up the cold water in the pipes. So Tosus asks, there are Mishnayos in the next perek that tell me that Atman is prohibited on Erev Shabbos if it's a Dovra Mosif Hevel. I didn't need Rav Chisda to derive this from the story of Anshei Tveria. What's the Chiddush over here? Satosis says that if not for this incident of Chamei Tveria, we would not know that if you violated Hatmana on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from that on Shabbos. Here's the deal. The Chiddush, the bottom line of the Chachamim who objected to the Anshei Tveria, is to equate that water that was heated up with water that was heated on Shabbos. So now, you know, the Anshei Tveria are so excited because the hot water through these pipes comes into a bath, and great, now they take a hot bath on Shabbos. They didn't want to take a hot bath in Chamei Tveria because they felt the water was a little bit polluted, if you will. But now they have clear, clean, hot water in a bath. And the Chacham say, no, you heated up that water on Shabbos. That's the Chiddush of Anshei Tveria. And that's what Rav Chisda wants to tell me, that the violation of the Iser Hatmana on Erev Shabbos, B'Dovra Mosif Hevel, generates a prohibition of what we call Maisa Shabbos, a concept that we've been mentioning over and over again lately. You're not allowed to benefit from that heating process, even though, again, you only did the action on Erev Shabbos, but it's ki'ilu, it's as if, and that's what the Chacham equated it with Mayim Shehuchmu b'Shabbos. Omar Ula, Halacha ka'anshei Tveria. Fascinating. We Paskin says Ula like the Anshei Tveria, against the Chacham. Omar Lei Rav Nachman, Kvar tavrinu Anshei Tveria lisilonayhu. The whole sheet of Anshei Tveria is purely theoretical. Why? Because the Anshei Tveria backed off, as we'd say, and they admitted defeat, and they accepted the chumrah, the stringency of the Chachamim, and they took their pipes in order to demonstrate their that they subjugate themselves to the Chachamim. And they destroyed their pipes. So don't tell me, Ula, that we paskin like the Anshei Tveria, because even the Anshei Tveria themselves backtracked. And they accepted the sheet of the Chachon. Now the Mishnah goes on, and now, Rabosai, we're at the threshold of a major sugya, which is bathing on Shabbos, and it's going to spill over to bathing on Yontif. You know, it's very funny that today is Erev Yontif, and a lot of what we're talking about in this next Gemara is going to be relevant tomorrow, or starting tonight, and it would have been relevant to 6 days ago. What's the deal with bathing on Yontif? Are you allowed to take a hot bath on Yontif? Okay, I just keep that in the back of your mind. First, we're going to talk about bathing on Shabbos. Maisa sha'asu anshei Tveria. And the Chachamim say that the water that you heated up by setting up this system on Erev Shabbos that was heated up on Shabbos is asur, you're not allowed to drink it, and you're not allowed to bathe in it. My rechitza, what kind of rechitza are we talking about? The concept of rechitza falls into three different subcategories. There is rechitza kol gufo, which means literally a bath. Then there's what we call a shower, which means that you pour the water over your head. And then there's what's called panav yad v'raglav, when you isolate certain parts of your body and you wash them or bathe them in hot water. What rechitza was prohibited with this water of the Anshei Tveria? Elema, if you're going to tell me, called gufo, it's water that was heated up on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to take a bath in that water. El chamet shehuchmu v'Shabbos huda asurin ha-chamet shehuchmu v'yarev Shabbos mutarim. When the Anshei Tveria said, when the Chachmei Tveria said to the Anshei Tveria, you have heated up this water on Shabbos, so to speak, again halachically, implying that had their svara been acceptable, and it would be considered as if they heated the water on Erev Shabbos, you'd be allowed to take a bath. V'atanya, chamet shehuchmu v'yarev Shabbos, l'machar, rochets pahem, panav yada v'raglav, a lokal gufo. Any water that is hot water, you're not allowed to take a bath on Shabbos. You can't jump into a bath of hot water on Shabbos, even if the water was heated on Erev Shabbos. We're going to see why as we go along. What you're allowed to do with water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, you can wash certain parts of your body, but not your entire body. So it can't be that the Chachamim are telling the Anshei Tveria that you heated up this water on Shabbos, again in inverted commas, right? And therefore, there's an Isur Rechitza. If we're talking about Kol Gufo, that Isur Rechitza applies even if Lishitasam, they were correct and they heated the water on Erev Shabbos. Because water that was heated on Erev Shabbos is Asur Rechitza's Kol Gufo on Shabbos. Ella, we must therefore, by process of elimination, assume that we're talking about Panav Yadav Araglav. That water that was heated on Shabbos, you're not allowed to wash even parts of your body in, and that's what the Chachmei Tveria ruled in the case of the Anshei Tveria, that this water was heated up on Shabbos, and therefore it's also b'panav yadav v'raglav, even though it was heated up on Erev Shabbos really, but it was heated up on Shabbos itself, because you set up the system and the whatever it is, the sun or the fire of Gehenna heated up this water inside the pipe on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to use this water even for Panav Yadav V'Raglav, which if the water would have been heated up on Erev Shabbos, you'd be allowed to do. Ema Seifa. But let's look at the last line in that Mishnah. And it says, B'yantiv, if this system of the Anshei Tveria would have been done on Yontif, so let's say this afternoon the Anshei Tveria would set up these pipes. Again, I don't know how you would travel to Tveria in today's day, but let's say they could somehow get an official health, you know, Ministry of Health would give them a head to go up to Tveria, and they would put the pipeline this afternoon. So the Chachamim say, we're going to consider as if you heated this water on Yontif. That's what it says in our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to bathe in this water that was heated up on Yontif. Well, I got news for you. If you're talking about Panav Yadav V'Raglav, you're allowed to heat up water on Yontif for the sake of washing your hands, your feet, and your face. And that's how we paskin like Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai. Lema tnan stomach Beit Shammai? This is a rhetorical question, ridiculous. Are you reflecting in our Mishnah here in Perikira, the Sheet of Beit Shammai? In Beitza, Disnan, Beit Shammai omrim lo yecham odom chamin l'raglov elim kein ruyim l'shtia. That on Yotif, you're not allowed to heat up water for the express purpose of bathing your feet in hot water. They still material. They still say that as long as you're not taking a full bath in hot water on Yontif, which is absolutely prohibited, like the beginning of this Yontif was a 3-day affair in Chutz Lartz, correct? So a lot of
What's the difference between bathing your hands, feet, and what have you, and bathing your whole body? What's the difference?
The difference is that our paradigm of the Isur bathing in hot water is what's called Gzeras HaBalonim. And these were the people who used to heat up fire in a cellar, in a basement. There were vents, and the hot air from the cellar that came through the bonfires that they'd made in the cellar would pierce through the vents and heat up the water in the bathhouse. And as we'll soon see, the balonim were not always so kosher yosher, and sometimes they would heat up that water. I'm sorry, they would heat up that fire on Shabbos itself. And from Shabbos, we're going to jump to Yontif, because Chazal felt that this Gzeres HaBalonim has to take us even to Yontif, even though technically this would not apply to Yontif, but we're not going to make any distinction. So therefore, when you talk about bathing, and, you know, the whole culture back in the time, you know, we talk about Roman culture, and back in the time of Chazal was bathing in these hot bathhouses, and his entire culture, whole sociology, that is bathing your entire body. But if you're washing only parts of your body, that's not called rechitza. If you heated up the water on Shabbos, then we're going to go a step further. And we're going to say, don't enjoy the benefit of that water that was heated up on Shabbos, even if only pun of Yad Varaglov. But if you're bathing your entire body, that already comes onto what's called Gzeres HaBalonim, which we're about to learn, depending upon how much time we have. But as far as Yontif is concerned, Beisil Matirim, which means that they still allow you to heat up water on Yontif for the express deliberate purpose of washing your hands and your feet. If you want to wash your whole body, that comes under the prohibition of Shabbos, which is called Gzeres HaBalonim. But if you're not bathing, like the classic Beis HaMerchatz in those gigantic bathhouses, so you're not submerging your entire body into hot water, then there's no problem on Yontif in heating up water, according to Beis Hillel, for the purpose of washing your parts of the body. So now we have a problem, because if our Mishnah of Anshei Tveria is focused on pun of Yad Varaglov, which we proved, again, we don't have time to go through the proof again, you'll review it on your own time, then how could the Chachmei Tveria tell the Anshei Tveria that on Yontif, it's as if you heated the water on Yontif, when Beis Hillel says you're allowed to heat water on Yontif for the purpose of bathing part of your body? Amar Rav Ika bar Chananya, lishtatef bahen kol gufo askinon. There's a middle of the road category as far as bathing. It's not this polar extreme where you bathe your entire body by submerging your body in hot water. It's not this polar extreme where you're only washing different organs of your body. It's right in the middle. And that's called lishtatef kol gufo. And for our purposes, again, it's a little bit more complicated, but I'm oversimplifying it. We're going to talk about showering. Again, the Gemara had a different sociology. They didn't actually have showers the way we have it. They used to heat up water in a vessel and pour the vessel on top of their body. The entire body was bathed in hot water, but not as you would do it in a Beis HaMerchatz, where you jump into the bath. And Hai Tanahu, our Mishnah reflects the following Tana, Desanya. Again, we're going to learn a Braisa with a couple of different shitas. We want to focus ultimately on Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakama, which is Rabbi Meir in this case, says, Lo yishtatef adam kol gufo bein b'chamen u'bein b'tzonen. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir went very far to prohibit showering in cold water on Shabbos, but let's take the case, which is a little easier for us, of showering in hot water on Shabbos. And Rabbi Meir said, well, that's like bathing. Your entire body is now being bathed in hot water. and it's osur. Reb Shimon matir. Reb Shimon is matir even in hot water. A hot shower on Shabbos is mutter according to Reb Shimon. Why? Because we're going to equate that with pun of yodav raglav. That's not an act of bathing. Reb Yehuda, Omer b'chamin osur b'tzonin mutter. Reb Yehuda has this compromise shita. He's going to allow you to take a cold shower on Shabbos, but not a hot shower. And Rav Ika is saying that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Shimon, and Rav Shimon would say the following, that if you heat up the water before Shabbos, you're allowed to take a shower with that water. Take that vessel, which has hot water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, and pour it over your entire body. But not with water that was heated on Shabbos itself. And that's what the Anshei Tveria heard from the sages. That you have heated this water on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to take even a shower. Let's say they would collect that water coming through the pipes of Chamei Tveria into a utensil, and pour that utensil on their body, which would be a case of lishtatev called gufo, what we call a shower, that's osur. And the sages taught them, you have in effect heated that water on Shabbos. And now we can extend that even to yontif, because although Beis Hillel allows you to heat water on yontif for the purpose of ponav yodav raglov, that rechitza is permissible, but not lishtatev kol gufo. Why? Because you heated it on yontif. If you were to heat it on erev yontif, or for that matter even on erev Shabbos, you'd be allowed, according to Rav Shimon, to take a shower in that hot water. But if you heated it on Shabbos itself, then it's osur. And it's osur, even according to Rav Shimon, in a case of lishtatev kol guf, of taking a shower. Omer Rav Chisda, machlokes bekli. The entire machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon applies to the case of water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos in a vessel, in a utensil. Because water that's heated in utensil, classically, is heated up by a fire. Aval bekarka, but when you have a bath that's inside the ground, divrei hakol mutter. Everyone would hold its mutter. So let's take the case of Anshei Tveria. The water went through the pipes, the cold water, it was heated up, and it ended up in a merchatz that was built into the ground. According to Rav Shimon, you'd be allowed to take the water that's in this merchatz and shower with it, because it's bekarka, according to Rav Chisda. So the Gemara immediately raises the following argument. For a maisa, the Anshei Tveria bekarka havi, they took the water into a ground built in kind of a bath, the Asri Le Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon said, you're not allowed to take a shower with this hot water. Why not? According to your interpretation of Chizdo, limiting the machlokes about showering on Shabbos with water that was heated up on Shabbos to the case of a vessel where we might think that you heated up the water on Shabbos, but here it's in karka. Eli Itmar, Hochi Itmar. We have to reformulate Rav Chisda's statement. Machlokes bekarka, aval bekli, divrei hakol osur. In other words, even Rav Shimon would agree that if you heated up water in a vessel on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to use that vessel to shower and pour it over your head. Because everybody agrees in the case of Kli that people are going to suspect you of having heated up that water on Shabbos itself. They don't know that you heated up this water on Erev Shabbos. But in the case of Karka, here Rav Yossi says the average person would understand that you heated up this water in the Karka, like the case of the bathhouse of the Anshei Tveria, on Erev Shabbos. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, ke Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We will not allow showering in hot water, even if the water was heated up on Erev Shabbos. Amalei Rav Yosef, I'm just trying to finish up the daf for today if we can. Beperish mi'alei o michlola shmi'alei. Did you hear this directly from Rav Yochanan, or did you infer it from a certain story in which he paskined? My klola, Rav Yosef apparently has in mind that there was some story and we were able to derive it. The Omer Rabbi Tanchum, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Yanai, Omer Rebbe, Kol Mokum Shata Motzei Shnayim Chalukim V'Yechen Machria, Halacha Kedivrei HaMachria. Whenever we find in a Mishnah, you have one extreme, L'chumra, according to one Tana, and you have another Tana, L'kula, and in the middle you have a Machria, Machria comes with a compromise Shita, then in those cases we always paskin like the compromise sheet. That's a principle that we get all the way back from Rabbi Yehuda Anas. And the only exception to that rule is Chutz Mikulei Matlonios, which is a sugya in Tumah V'Tara. Shafal Pish Rabbi Eliezer, Machmir Rabbi Shua Mekil, Rabbi Kiva Machria, Ein Alocha Kedivrei HaMachria. But getting back to our machlokes about showering, we had three shitas, two extreme and Rabbi Yehuda as a machria in the middle. One shita was that of the Tanakama, Rabbi Meir, and he held that there's no heter for showering even in cold water. Rabbi Shimon allowed you to shower even in hot water, and Rabbi Yehuda was the machria, and he differentiated between hot water and cold water. So now that Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rebbe, says halacha kedivrei amachria, the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Yosef is accusing Rabbi Bar Bachan of having derived from that statement that we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the case of showering on Shabbos because he's the machria. However, the Gemara here on the top of Daf Mem Amud Aleph is going to reject this because it could be that this is a principle that only applies to Mishnayos. When Rebbe authored the Mishnayos, he built in a principle called Halacha Kedivrei Machria, but when it was left out of the Mishnah and it's in a Braisa, like this case of the three-way Machlokes between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda in the middle, that's outside of the pale of this principle called Halacha Kedivrei HaMachria. And therefore, if you, Rabbi Bar Bachana, tell me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda, you must have heard it directly from Rabbi Yochanan. It couldn't be that you derived it by analysis, by inference, from a different statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rebbe, that Halacha Kedivrei HaMachria, because Halacha Kedivrei HaMachria would not apply in the case of a Bryce. Okay, Rabosai? So what you have to do over the course of Yontif, if you can, is to study Daf Mem Amud Aleph, which is tomorrow's Daf, because in Daf Yomi they don't give you vacation. There are no vacations for Daf Yomi. Not even on Tisha B'Av. Not even on Yom Kippur. And the Mirtz Hashem B'li Neder on Yom Rishon, we're going to have to pick it up on Daf Mem Aleph. Now, we won't be able to pick it up exactly on Daf Mem Aleph because we're going to need a little bit of Daf Mem Amid Beis in order to understand Daf Mem Aleph. So, that'll be on Friday. So, 8:15 on Friday, even though it's Isru Chag, and then we can negotiate the week after. And Mirtza Hashem will try to do Daf Mem Aleph on Friday. And again, I might be very pressured on Mem Aleph is a gigantic Amud, and we're going to have to start a little bit on Mem Amud Beis, so we'll have to pray for Yeshua. And once again, I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a Chag Sameach.